Hare Krishna. Good morning, dear devotees. Glories to Prabhupada. Again, I have to remind everyone, I think tonight's the last night of Dhammadharastakam. And I will have to end at a reasonable time in order to take part in our last Dhammadharastakam here. Devotees have planned a feast tonight. I don't know how much I'll be able to honor feast, but it will be there. And I'll certainly be able to look at it. But I definitely have to end on time. And I've been really getting, I don't want to call it pressure because it's lovingly done, but strong encouragement to continue kirtans every evening after Kartik is over. Not every evening, but regularly. So I may have to continue with having to end at a suitable time in order to facilitate that if I submit to the loving encouragement. We'll see. As for tonight, we're starting a little bit late, and but I wanted to go back. I seem to recall ending our last class by saying I wanted to read something about from Paramatma Sandaba, and it was related to the last verse and the commentary, which specifically is in reference to the verse that was quoted, how the Lord acts for the pleasure of his devotees, just as a bird, and what is it? The bird, the tortoise, and I can't remember the third, but they take care of their offspring by touching them, by thinking about them in various ways. And there is a reference, a very nice reference from the Jiva Goswami has given, which elaborates on this point. And as well, there's a very nice quote from Srila Prabhupada, which is also very closely connected to this point from a lecture that he gave from Queen Kuti's prayers, how the Lord's pastimes are bewildering because of his behavior, it appears to him that it could appear to others that he's plays favorites, and therefore it appears bewildering. And Prabhupada gave a very, very nice explanation that I've oftentimes used specifically in relationship to that point. I wanted to read that too. So I will be doing some reading tonight and some commenting. And I hope to be able to use the time in that way. So we'll begin on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Chapter 4, second volume. And the last verse, excuse me, I've I know I, if I see it, I'll remember it. Yes, it was 107. We were supposed to start on 108, but I'm going to go back a little bit and do something from 107. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I'll read text 107 again. Krishnasya bhakta vatsalyad
Yasya kasya pikaramana sankirtanam mahan eva gunashi prabudhoshanaha. Krishna is so kind to his devotees that sankirtan of any of his activities is glorious and beneficial and satisfying to our divine master. Commentary. Now the Vaikunthavasis who best understand the Supreme Lord's glories are speaking. All the Lord's pastimes are transcendental, and to glorify any of them is auspicious because the Lord enacts them for the benefit of his devotees. As he has said in his own words, Muhurtenapi Sanghartum Shakto Yadhya Pidanavan Mad Bhaktanam Vinodartam Karomi Vividha Kriyaha Darshana Dhyana Samparshaya Matsya Kurma Vihangama Svanya Patyani Pushnanti Tataham Apipadmaja. Although I can annihilate all the Danavas within a few minutes, I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. Just as the fish, the tortoise, and the bird nourish their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees, O lotus-born Brahma. This is a quote from Padma Purana. I'm only going to read a little bit further because I'm just going to discuss one part of this purport. None of the Supreme Lord's activities, therefore, are creations of Maya, material illusion, nor are they purposeless like the games of children. Different devotees, however, understand the Lord's pastimes in different ways. Om Agyana Timirandasya Garanjana Salakaya Chaksho Unminitam Dhyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurundina Taranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastya Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Last class, we spoke about the different perceptions, the three different types of devotees, and according to their realization, who see the Lord's activities in different ways. And first, we already spoke about quite some time ago about the Lord's apparently illusory activities. At the most, the greatest of his activities are those which are performed in Vaikuntha. The second, and therefore they were objecting to Gopal Kumar's glorification of the Lord's childhood pastimes. And there were those who are a little bit more open-minded, who are open to it, and there are those who were more than open to it, but who accepted that the Lord appreciated any descriptions of his activities because they're all transcendental and they are all eternal and certainly not temporary manifestations of illusion. We already described what that illusion was. I'm not going to explain it again. It's not It's too detailed, and to go over it again, I would end up simply speaking about it again. But we already spoke about it before, what that illusion was. Therefore, the third, they expressed, they were a little bit disturbed. And we already spoke last time this about how they apparently spoke angrily. But they were a little bit disturbed about the different opinions and arguments, even arguments that were taking place. And they tried to establish what they understood was the greatest understanding, that the Lord is certainly pleased because all his activities are transcendental. And this point is brought out here, that these Vaikunthavasis who best understand the Supreme Lord's glories, they're speaking, they're saying that all his pastimes are transcendental, and to glorify them is auspicious, because the Lord always acts for his devotees, for the sake of his devotees. And that is his primary motivation. And the verse that is quoted from the Padma Puranas also confirms that by stating that, again, although I could annihilate all the Danavas and within a few minutes, I don't know why just within a few minutes, he could do it with a blink of an eye. But anyways, a few minutes is what the way it's written. But I perform various pastimes just to entertain my devotees. So the emphasis is that his primary motivation, or I should say primary, exclusive motivation, not just primary, exclusive motivation, is to give pleasure to his devotees. And this is what is being discussed by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī in the Paramātmā Sandarbha, and I wanted to read a little reference from it, and we can also talk about it. But before that verse, there's another verse, just a few verses before that, in which Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī speaks about child's play, because that is also being referred to here, where Sanatana Goswami says that the Lord's activities are not purposeless like the games of children. Now, what does he mean by the games of children? And that's exactly what Jiva Goswami is going to explain. What is the mentality behind the games that children play? They do it, well, let me read it. And this is the impetus of children in playing is desire. The Lord's desire for play should be different in terms of objects and other children inspiring the action. The Lord is satisfied in himself by the powers of his Svarupa, or by his intrinsic nature. He's always detached. How can he desire to play because of the jivas or because of the universe? This translation requires a little elaboration. When he speaks about how can he be desire to play because of the jivas of the universe, he's specifically saying that what could motivate Krishna to do anything for all the jivas in the material world? He's not attracted to anything. Neither is he attracted to the material universes. No attraction whatsoever to the material universes. What attracts him the most, always, is his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada even explains in this verse from the prayers of Queen Kunti, he explains something very nice
which I wanted to read, and then we'll go back to the Sandarbha. It means, he says, what does it mean to deliver a sadhu? And he's quoting, because Paratranaya Sadhunam is one of the reasons why Krishna comes, in order to deliver his the sadhus, his devotees. And Prabhupada, we've heard Prabhupada say so many times that he doesn't really come to annihilate miscreants. And he says, because he could do that without having to come, because all of his energies act very perfectly according to his will. And he's not particularly inspired to come and to deal with these elements that are going on in the material universe. What inspires us to come is when his devotees are affected by the non-devotees. That's what Prabhupada explains. But he explains something else here, which is also very, very, very nice and directly connected to the point. He quotes the verse from Queen Kunti. Naveda kaschid bhagavang strikir satam tave hamanasyan rinam vidambanam. Vidambanam means bewildering. Nayasya kaschid dhyatos tikarhichit dveshyas chiyasmin vishamam matir nirnam. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. And then Prabhupada says, so the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Paratranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam. Two purposes. When God incarnates, he has got two missions. One mission is Paratranaya sarunam and vinashaya duskritam. One mission is to deliver the faithful devotees, sadhu. Sadhu means saintly persons. I've several times explained sadhu. Sadhu means devotee. Sadhu does not mean the worldly honesty or dishonesty, morality or immorality. It has nothing to do with material activities. It is simply spiritual sadhu. Prabhupada, of course, is speaking, this elaborated upon in Jiva Dharma, chapter 8 of Jiva Dharma, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where he talks about the secondary sub-religious principles are not in themselves transcendental, because somebody could be honest, somebody could act in many pious ways and still not be a devotee. So these are not the primary characteristics of a devotee. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about it in chapter 8. Primary characteristics of a devotee is his devotion, desire to please the Lord. That is the primary characteristic. Anya balashita shunyam ganakam anyanavatam. Anyways, so sadhu does not mean the worldly honesty or dishonesty, morality or immorality. Has nothing to do with material activities. It is simply spiritual sadhu. But sometimes we derive sadhu, a person's material goodness, morality. But actually sadhu means, on the transcendental platform, those who are engaged in devotional service. Sagunan samatitaitan. Sadhu is transcendental to the material qualities. So Paratranaya sadhunam, the Paratranaya means to deliver. Now, if a sadhu is already delivered, he's on the transcendental platform, then where is the necessity of delivering him? This is the question. Therefore, this word is used, vidambanam. It is bewildering. It is contradictory. It appears contradictory. If sadhu is already delivered, transcendental position means he's no longer under the control of the three material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because it is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samati Tyaitan, he transcends the material qualities. A sadhu devotee, then where's the question of deliverance? The deliverance, he does not require deliverance. A sadhu, because he's very much anxious to see the Supreme Lord, eye to eye, that is his inner desire. Therefore, Krishna comes, not for deliverance. He's already delivered. He's already delivered from the material clutches, but to satisfy him. Krishna is always, just like a devotee wants to satisfy the Lord in all respect, similarly, more than the devotee, the Lord wants to satisfy the devotee. This is the exchange of loving affairs. So, Prabhupada very nicely brings this point, elaborates on this point, which is being expressed here in the commentary by quoting that verse of how the Lord wants to please his devotees. Word is used, entertain his devotees. Yes, entertain his devotees. And in fact, the quote from the Bhakti Sandarbha also speaks a little bit about that. But the point is that it's not like child's play. Because a child, when he plays because it's his own desire to play, or he plays because other children want him to play. And therefore, the word that is being used is there's still some personal desire. Other children want him to play, and or he wants to play. But in the same way, when the Lord comes or descends to this world, he's not interested in all the suffering jivas when he comes. He's not interested in taking care of them. He's primarily interested, except of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, but that's a different topic. But Krishna comes primarily, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya, most merciful, because he's come to give what nobody else ever came to give. But another topic. But when Krishna comes because of the desire of his devotees. And in fact, Queen Kunti, in many places in her prayers, one of the reasons she gives for the purpose of Krishna's coming is she says, you come just because of your devotees. You want to glorify your devotees. Not only that, but you want to leave behind your pastimes so the devotees who are feeling separation from you have something to speak about you. And therefore you come and you leave behind all your wonderful pastimes so that the devotees who are still present in this world, they can discuss your wonderful pastimes which you perform when you come. So, you're coming for your devotees. And she explains this. And she also explains you come for your other devotees, like King Yadu. You came to glorify these devotees. She also says you come at the request of your devotee, Lord Brahma, who was particularly overwhelmed, and Bhumi was particularly overwhelmed by the weight that she was feeling of the presence of all the demoniac elements. But it was the devotees that impelled the Lord to descend. And if we actually think about it,
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was Advaitacharya who impelled Lord Chaitanya to descend. Two reasons he came is the external reasons is to answer the call of Advaitacharya, who was his devotee, who made a firm vow that if I can't make the Lord to descend, come to descend to deal with all these people who are behaving in such terrible ways, then I'll cut off their heads if I cannot make him descend. He even said that. Of course, he knew he had the power to make the Lord descend. But that's how determined he was to make him descend. And the Lord, Lord Chaitanya emphasizes, even in the Shata Praharya Bhava, in the ecstasy of 21 hours, he emphasized the point that, Nara, it was you, Advaitacharya, it was you. I came because you called me. You called me. So it was because of the mercy of Advaitacharya that the Lord descended to distribute the holy name as well. Nonetheless, Queen Kunti explains it's because of the devotees that the Lord descends. Because he's not interested in the affairs of the universe. And this is the point that Srila Jiva Goswami, to keep my eye on the time, this is the point that Srila Jiva Goswami will bring out now in his Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha. He says, one hears of the various avatars who side with the devatas, giving them mercy with smiles and gestures of fearlessness while killing demons in battle. Are these forms and pastimes done by the Supreme Lord or not? If done by the Supreme Lord, then the Lord must be material and must be partial because he's taking sides. If the Lord does not make these forms or perform these pastimes, then his actions and his attributes are not part of his inherent nature. Concerning this doubt, this should be said. It is true that the Supreme Lord does nothing in regards to protection of the universe. However, he reveals pastimes and various avatars manifesting through his Swarup Shakti in order to give bliss to the Vaikuntha associates who appear along with him and to other devotees, including devatas who control the universe. And then he quotes Padma Purana, the verse that we just quoted. Even though I can kill the demons, oh, here it says, even though I can kill the demons in a moment. I'm relieved. I perform various actions to give pleasure to my devotees. Just as the fish by seeing, the turtle by thought, and the bird by touch nourish their young, I nourish my devotees. Another quote from Hari Bhakti Sudadaya. I'm fully satisfied eternally. I take various births in order to fulfill the desires of my devotees. Tell me, what is your desire? Kunti says, and she quotes another verse, that Bhakti Yoga Vidharnat Tam, according to the commentary of Shuddha Swami, Bhakti Yoga Vidharnat Tam means you have appeared for the performance of bhakti. And here's another interesting reference. It's very interesting. Grihita guna vatara means he who appears as an avatar with attractive qualities like mercy. Though the Lord appears to give bliss to the devotees, secondarily, actions which protect the universe and side with the devatas occur through his maya. Some devotees in this world gather together, expressing their prema for the Lord to each other. They gather some mridanga players unknown to them, and they dance madly out of bliss on hearing the Lord's qualities. By this action, they destroy all inauspiciousness in the universe and increase auspiciousness. I have to explain this. Example, there's an analogy that's given. Just like if a person is cooking food on a fire, then they're cooking, the purpose is to come and use the fire for the cooking purposes. But while they're cooking the food on the fire, it may be cold outside and they get warmed up. They feel some warmth from the fire. So it's not the purpose. They're cooking. The purpose of the fire is to do the cooking. But secondarily, another purpose is being fulfilled. That is that they're feeling some warmth. In the same way, the Lord is coming primarily to give pleasure to his devotees, to satisfy his devotees. And just as we said, one of the purposes by which the Lord appears is so the devotees will glorify these activities of the Lord. So the devotees come together out of their ecstasy to glorify these activities of the Lord, and sometimes they may gather people to come and play drums. Just like a perfect example, sometimes the devotees go out in Harinam, and all of a sudden you'll see this guy come up, you know, with a guitar, and he'll start playing the guitar, and somebody else comes up with a, what do they call these drums, and he gets into it, and you know, he's just completely, and he's caught up. They're caught up in the ecstasy of the kirtan, you know, but they're just like more. They're caught up in their music playing, and they're caught up in their performance, but somehow they're benefited because the devotees are glorifying the holy names of the Lord. So the devotee's purpose is to glorify the activities and pastimes of the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. And when the Lord comes and when he descends, and the devotees remember those pastimes, they remember the Lord's names, they chant his names in great bliss and ecstasy. And other jivas, they're affected by it. They get some benefit by it. But the Lord didn't come for them. The Lord came for his devotees. But they get the benefit. Just like, and the universe gets the benefit too. And that's the other point that's being made. He's coming for his devotees, but what is it? The example that's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Lord does not consider a universe. It's just like a bucket of a mustard seed in a bucket of mustard seeds. Or what is that? Like udambara? That fruit on the tree, there's like so many millions of fruits. And what is the loss of one fruit when there's so many millions of them? In the same way, what is the loss of one universe to the Lord? And the point that is also expanded upon is that the Lord's not even interested in an unlimited universes. Prabhupada explains this in the commentary. The universes themselves are inconsequential. They're of no particular interest to the Lord. What's the Lord interested in? What does he come? Parachanaya sadhunam. He comes because of his devotees. And Prabhupada already clearly established that his devotees don't even need to be delivered. So why does he come for his devotees? He comes because the devotees are so eager, so anxious, have such a strong desire to see the Lord, that the Lord wants to fulfill their desires. So he comes to fulfill their desires. So the same way, he executes his pastimes. Devotees glorify his pastimes. And others who come in contact, they benefit. The whole universe benefits by it. And Prabhupada would always emphasize this point again and again and again of how the universe is benefited by the sankirtan of the holy names of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina how happy, ecstatic he becomes when Narada Muni begins his sankirtan and Lord Shiva comes. He starts dancing in ecstasy and all the other devotees start dancing in ecstasy. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that finally, you know, my desire is satisfied. Now, this universe has now reached its point of the most auspiciousness by the sankirtan of the holy names of the Lord. So, therefore, the example is given just like cooking. If one wants to cook with fire, then yes, cooking may be done, but at the same time, other benefits may be there, secondarily. So secondarily, the universe is benefited and the jivas are benefited, but the Lord does not come. He's not coming for any selfish desire. And this is the point that also Srila Jiva Goswami makes. He doesn't come to satisfy them. Just like a child who's requested by his friends, come out and play. He goes out and plays to satisfy his friends. But the Lord's not coming to satisfy the non-devotees. He's not coming for that reason. And therefore, his activities are all completely dibyam, transcendental. They're not like child's play. Because child's play, and there's a verse I want to quote, a very nice verse. It's a verse from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Vidura. And when he speaks about this point about child's play, and he says, it's third canto, seventh chapter, third verse. Prabhupada's translation and purport. Boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there's no possibility of such desire for the Lord because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. Of course, he's attached to his devotees, but he's attached from everything else, detached from everything else. What is that? Etad ishnam ishasya prakritisto tad gunai. First canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that this is one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. He's never affected by the qualities of material nature. Never affected at all. He has no interest in material nature. Personal interest. Why should he? Parasya shaktiva vidhaiva shuyate sabhaviki gyana bala kriyacha. Because everything happens very systematically through his different energies who get involved with creation. Anyways, boys are enthusiastic to play with other boys or with various diversions because they are encouraged by desire. But there's no possibility of such desire for the Lord
because he is self-satisfied and detached from everything at all times. Purport. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second, there is no possibility that anything besides him can exist. He expands himself by his energies in multiforms or expansions and separated expansions as well. Just as fire expands itself by heat and light. Since there is no other existence besides the Lord himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests his association with himself. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya tatam idang sarvam jagat avyakta murtanah. In other words, he is explaining himself, meaning by my extension of my energies. By the extension of my energies. Of course, his devotees who have love for him, this is something else that draws his attention. But here he's speaking about all the unlimited living entities. He's already accompanying them through his expansions. As Paramatma, as the super soul, he's manifesting through his different expansions in the process of creation, through the Purusha avatars, through Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu. And although, as this verse I quoted, Etad Ishanam Ishasya Prakritistopi Tad Gunai, is referring to these different expansions of the Lord who have some relationship to the material energy, but the point that's being made is they're never affected by the material nature. And the verse goes on to explain, similarly, devotees who understand this position of the quality of the Lord, they also will never be affected by material nature. So, again, back to Prabhupada's purport. Since there is no other existence besides the Lord himself, the Lord's association with anything manifests his association with himself. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Maya tatam idang sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani na cha hamteshva vastata. The complete manifestation of the cosmic situation is an expansion of the Lord himself in his impersonal feature. All things are situated in him only, yet he is not in them. That is the opulence of the Lord's attachment and detachment. He's attached to everything, yet he's detached from all. I would say that attached to everything, meaning he's connected to everything. But he's detached from all. So, therefore, the example, again, Prabhupada is giving this commentary to explain how the Lord's activities are just not like child's play. A child is motivated to play because he wants to enjoy himself, or he wants to please his friends, their pleasure, give them pleasure. But this material, the jivas, the jivas in the material world and the material universe cannot attract the Lord in this way. The devotees can. And therefore, this is going back to Srila Prabhupada's first reference that we gave. What does it mean to deliver the sadhu? Why does Krishna primarily come? He primarily comes. Sadhus are already delivered, but his devotees are very eager to see him. The devotees want to see him, and the Lord is very eager, and Prabhupada even says, even more eager than the devotees are to see him, the Lord is more eager than the devotees are. Excuse me. The Lord is even more eager to see the devotees than the devotees are to see him.
And this is Prabhupada's point in that reference. Why? Because that is his desire to please his devotees, just like, or to entertain his devotees. In the quote from the Paramatma Siddharva, it says that when the Lord comes, he engages in these wonderful pastimes of killing demons. And a point that it was being made, and this is another important point, it may appear that the Lord is partial to the devotees. And that was the other point that Jiva Goswami raised. But it's not a question of partiality to the devotees. He is not like a mundane person who has partiality to one and against another. Of course, the Lord is partial to his devotees in the ultimate sense, but this is also explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is his bhushanam. This is the ornament of the Lord. And one should never fault the Lord for his partiality that he manifests towards those who love him exclusively, because and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it as like the Bhaktivatsalya. It's the emperor of all of his qualities. It's the greatest quality of the Lord. Is his quality of his desire to reciprocate and to please those who love him exclusively. And it's not because he needs their service. It's not because of any selfish desire. It's because his devotees love him so much and are so exclusively dependent upon him. They have nobody else except the Lord. They demonstrate again and again and again that they don't depend on anyone else. And we oftentimes use that example of like Maharaj Ambarish, who was, we described before, was the example of the Shuddha Bhakta. And we said that there was the different levels of bhaktas. Maharaj Ambarish was a Shuddha Bhakta. He was the pure devotee of the Lord, completely not motivated by knowledge, but simply motivated for service to the Lord. And even when his life was threatened, he didn't even ask the Lord to protect him. Prabhupada explains this in the commentary. He just remembered the Lord, because that was his nature, to always remember the Lord. And because he was so dependent on the Lord explained to Durvasa Muni, what can I do? When Durvasa Muni came to him and said, have mercy to me. I've gone to Brahma. I've gone to Shiva. And both of them said, we can't do anything. And now I've come to you. You're the last stop. You invoke the Sudarshan Chakra, and the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. And I'm coming to take shelter of you. And the Lord says, what can I do? I can't do anything. I'm under the control of my devotee. The devotee is always in my heart, and I'm always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't think about anyone but me, and I don't think about anyone but him. What can I do? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we oftentimes explain this beautiful commentary that he gives on this particular pastime, where he describes, he creates a dialogue between the Lord and Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is speaking to the Lord, and he's saying, I've come to take shelter of you. Please, can't you understand? Have some mercy. You know, where's your heart? Certainly, if you see somebody suffering, Can't you think about their suffering? Where's your heart? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Lord says to Dvarsa Muni, well, you know, my devotee, he takes me into his heart and he's always thinking about serving me, Maharaj Ambarish. He's Shuddha Bhakta. He's always thinking about serving me. And I want to give him something, but I know he's not interested in anything. He takes me in his heart and he renders all kinds of service. So I ask him, please, let me give you something. And my devotee says, you know, I don't want anything. I just want service. I can offer you anything. Devotee says, I'm just satisfied. My greatest happiness in life is simply serving you. So what can I give him that will make him happy? What could I give him? If I give him some wealth, I give him some position, it's not going to make him happy. I've asked him again and again. He doesn't want it. So I have to go into my secret treasure house and I have to give the greatest treasure that I have in my treasure house. What is that? You're asking me to have a heart. You know something? I don't have it. I don't have a heart because I reached into the treasure house and I gave my heart to Maharaj Ambarish. He's got it. You can still get my heart, but I don't have it. And if you want me to think about your suffering, I'm always thinking about him too. He's got my mind. So he's got both, my mind and my heart. So if you really want my mercy, you better go to Maharaj Ambarish. I can't do anything. So such is the power of the devotee. The devotee very captures the heart of the Lord. And this is not, it can be said as to be, you know, partiality on the part of the Lord. But actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's the greatest ornament. It's bhushanam, not dushanam. It's not a fault. It's bhushanam. Just as we talk about how the devotees of the Lord, they have the greatest ornaments of a devotee of the Lord. In the same way, the greatest ornament of the Lord is this quality of pleasing his devotees. And therefore, one should not think in any way that the Lord's when activities have anything to do like child's play when he comes to this world. And is the point which these Vaikuntha Dutas, their greatest they understand the greatest feature of the Lord's pastimes is that they're all transcendental. And because they're all transcendental, we should not argue about these pastimes that Gopakumara is praising, glorifying. The Lord must be pleased by them. So please, just accept it and stop arguing. And this is the third group. They have made the point very strong. And then the next verse, which I was going to read tonight, but I can't. I have to end. But this verse will explain how at first Gopakumara was very embarrassed. Very embarrassed when he heard the complaints of these first proponents. And then, but when he heard this group speak, he felt a little pacified in the heart. Oh, sorry. And he'll explain that. He said, it was at first it was like a thorn in his heart. But then When he heard the words of these groups, of this group of Vaikuntha Vasis, he felt some pacification. He was relieved. And his mind became pacified. And we'll read that. That will be next verse on Saturday. I don't have time for japa. I apologize. I could chant I can chant one round. Maybe one round. Maybe a little less than one round. I have a little time. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. I have to end here. Sorry. I have to get ready. Yes, Krishna dances like a fool. It's inconceivable, but that's in his omniscient feature as Paramatma. Somebody wrote a message about how it's inconceivable, how Krishna is dancing like a fool in expectation and waiting for the living entities. But that's in his omniscient feature as the Paramatma, but that's not in his feature as in Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka Vrindavan, he is not in any way thinking about such personalities. He only is thinking about those devotees who worship him and meditate on him and serve him in spontaneous ecstatic love, wherever they may be, throughout all the different universes. He thinks of them. But in his omniscient aspect as Paramatma and in his feature in Vaikuntha, yes, he is dancing like a fool, waiting for everyone to come back to him and to follow his dictation, like the two birds sitting in the tree. One bird is waiting, watching the other bird eating the fruit, and he never leaves the branch. He's always there witnessing and waiting with great expectation and hope. Hare Krishna. We will end here.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare